The first reason simply is that we had not looked at the way citizens interact with government in quite some time. The last time we did a study like this was way back in the dark ages of 2003, when there was no Facebook, no YouTube, no Twitter.
Twitter was just a glint in our eye.
Exactly. So it seemed like an appropriate time to revisit this subject, particularly given the renewed emphasis at the federal level as well as at the state and local level on opening up data, increasing transparency, and interacting with citizens in new ways. So it seemed like a nice fit, and we hopefully... we think, found some really interesting things.
So give us the high-level details. Overall, people are, they like going online, don't they?
They like going online, and there's a lot of interest in interacting with government online. Obviously, as you might expect, a lot of those transactions involve things like information seeking and transactional activities on government websites. So we found that about 80% of internet users had done one of 11 different government website activities in the last year. But they're also doing a lot of different things. They are interacting with government agencies officials using new media. They're talking about government issues with their friends and family members in the broader online community. And they're also going online for data about what government is doing, whether that's tracking stimulus spending or looking up the text of legislation.
Is it because social media? Is it because they have changed the landscape of that form of communication? Now the general populace just sort of expects it, really, from not just each other, but the government, too?
I think it's a combination of things. I think, first of all, you're exactly right. Social media, whether that's defined as social networking sites or online video sites or sites such as Twitter, it's where people spend a lot of their time, their online time these days, and their lives in many ways are filtered through those tools. So it's sort of naturally where they are and where they expect to receive a lot of different kinds of information. But I think it also speaks to the effectiveness and the efforts that government agencies have taken to make their data available, to make their websites run smoothly and give people the information that they need, and to reach out using interesting approaches and trying to reach people in ways that go beyond sort of simple transactions and information seeking. So I think all of those things, when you put them together, you wind up with relatively large numbers of people accessing government services and government information in lots of interesting ways.
Two data points that I just found fascinating in this study, and one we talked about before we started, but 40% of Americans have gone online for data about the business of government. This isn't about to do a transaction. This is to find out what, mostly our audience, this is to find out what they're doing. Why are they making the decisions that they're making?
Absolutely. And this actually fits with a lot of our previous research, which is that Americans are increasingly using the internet to go to the source, as it were, with decisions that they are interested in making or to find out about issues that are important to them. And we saw that, for instance, in the context of the 2008 elections, where people were going online to watch speeches in their entirety rather than watching clips on the news. We see it in the health arena, where people are sort of self-diagnosing and self-treating themselves using information that they find online. So this fits with a lot of the broader trends that we've seen in our research, but it was certainly striking to us to see the level of interest in exactly the types of things that you're talking about, things like stimulus spending or government data or campaign contributions. People clearly are interested in this type of information.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks again to the effectiveness of government agencies, as well as the broader good government and transparency movement in making that information available, serving that need, and presenting it to people in a way that's useful and informative.
And as you look at recovery.gov, so just the wealth of information there. The other stat which just blew my socks off was we look at all these internet tools and Twitter and Facebook and even websites. The number one way people want to reach out to government, well, you tell them.
Well, it's the good old-fashioned telephone.
20th century telephone, for goodness sakes.
I think there's a few things going on there. The first is we've seen this in our prior research as well, which is that people, they love getting information online. They love completing transactions. But that as their problems get more complex, as they get more urgent, they really do appreciate the ability to speak to someone in person, whether that's face-to-face or on the telephone. And to use my own example, I love to file my taxes online. It saves me a lot of time and effort. But when someone filed a fraudulent tax return using my Social Security number, that was an issue that I really needed to talk to someone about, and the ability to do that was very important to me.
And so hearing somebody, I think it's almost comforting to be able to reach out to somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's part of it. The other part is, you know, and looking at it from the government point of view, it speaks to the continued relevance and importance of a lot of traditional channels of interaction with citizens. And there's a lot of flashy numbers in this report with respect to the online world. But when you look at what people want to do and the way they want to interact, the internet is very much a supplement to other forms of interaction. And when you, even the people who had the most interactions with government online, so very intense users of online government services, they were actually the group that was most likely in our research to say that they had also had an offline interaction with government as well, for instance, calling someone on the phone or visiting an office in person. So even the people who are extremely adept technologically and very active in seeking government information online still appreciate those good old-fashioned telephone calls and in-person visits.
So who are these people? Did you find any particular demo that stood out with any particular need or service?
It very much depends on the type of activity we looked at. So, for instance, when you look at visiting government websites for basic services and transactions, the folks that do that generally look just about like the internet population as a whole. On the other end of the spectrum, when you look at who's going online for data about government, that tends to be a fairly wealthy, well-educated, sort of elite population, as it were. Sort of halfway in the middle between those two poles are the folks who are accessing government information using social media, broadly defined. And we found some very interesting trends with folks who are using things like blogs and social networking sites and text messaging to interact with government. In particular, the people who do that are much more represented by minority Americans, for instance, or young adults than some of the other government interactions we looked at. And there's some very interesting findings there with respect particularly to race. And I think it sort of offers the potential, in our mind, to reach some underserved populations that currently aren't accessing other online government offerings at the rate that whites and those with higher incomes and educations are.
And you make that point, and yet it seemed, I mean, when I was reading and looking at the numbers, you can almost see in the numbers a digital divide happening. There's the folks who are, you know, if you're going reaching out online, chances are you have broadband, chances are you're educated, chances are you make a good salary, and those underserved populations may not necessarily fall into that. Resolve this for me.
You're absolutely right, and you know, clearly in all of our research, regardless of the topic, people with a high-speed home internet connection, people who have access to the mobile web, are much more active than people with dial-up connections, for instance, or people who don't have access at home in their use of all sorts of different online technologies. With that said, what we are seeing is a sort of interesting change in the digital divide with respect to wireless. And when you look at groups, particularly minority groups, that don't have access to broadband at the same rates as whites, at the same time, they're very active using mobile devices to get online and get information. And so I think that plays in as well with a lot of the parity we see in the social media realm. Obviously, text messaging is a mobile application. Tools like Twitter and social networking sites are very sort of geared towards that mobile environment. And so I think that's partly why you see less of a gap between whites on one hand and African Americans and Latinos, for instance, on the other, is that sort of mobile difference that it's helping to bridge some of those gaps. But certainly when we look at engagement with government online using a lot of different tools, the ability to go online from home using a high-speed connection is key. And I think when you listen to the FCC in the presentation of their broadband plan, access to those government services and that type of information was front and center in why they want to encourage this rapid growth in availability of broadband over the next decade.
So what is then the take-home message for federal managers and their agencies? What should they take from this?
I think there's sort of an opportunity and a challenge, both in this research. And I think the opportunity is fairly clear, which is that Americans are really interested in what government is doing. And you know, as we've seen over the last year with the stimulus bill, with the healthcare bill, and just general, you know, government activities, people are really engaged with government. And they want to access government information in a whole host of areas. The flip side of that, obviously, is that that presents a real challenge to government agencies in terms of staffing, in terms of strategy, in terms of what you prioritize. Obviously, everyone these days is having to do more with less, and government is certainly not immune from that.
It's also a big culture change.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's people aren't simply expecting to go to a government website to conduct, you know, sort of discrete transactions, although that's obviously a big part of it. They also want to, you know, reach out and communicate with government. They want to talk about what government's doing with other people. They want to access information in a lot of different ways and in ways that are convenient to them. And so I think, you know, for a variety of reasons, while that's a huge opportunity and it really speaks to the level of interest out there, it certainly could be a challenge to agencies that are trying to figure out how to navigate this new world.